From ACB Radio Mainstream, welcome to Tuesday Topics. For the next hour, we will be discussing a topic of interest to blind and visually impaired people. And now, from Miami, Florida, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
Good evening, this is Paul Edwards from Miami, Florida. We are taping Tuesday Topics on an unusual night, but I'd like to welcome everyone to Tuesday Topics. I'd like to thank Steve Bauer for both recording and Brian Charlson and welcome him back. Though he's having some mic difficulties tonight, it is good to have Brian back in the mix. Tonight on Tuesday Topics, we are going to be discussing a topic that I certainly find intriguing, and that is, in a philosophical sense anyway, how do you make computers more available to blind people around the world? And perhaps, in a sense, we're also discussing whether companies that are in the business of providing access technology can get involved in that process one way or another. And we're going to be talking about a program called System Access to Go, and we're going to be talking about one of the developers of that program, and we're going to be talking with him as well. He's actually been on Tuesday Topics many times before. Is a person who I think of as a leader in the field of technology for folks who are blind. And perhaps, Mike, you could begin by telling us a little bit about what System Access to Go is. It's a great pleasure that we welcome to Tuesday Topics Mr. Mike Calvo.
Well, Paul, first of all, thank you for the very shining introduction. I'm humbled. You know, SA2Go is something that is really a dream of mine, kind of mixed up with a calling I feel was put on my life a while back. It's interesting because I've always wanted a web-based screen reader. I've always thought how cool it would be to walk up to a computer and, of course, be able to... We all dream of having these one key on the Windows keyboard that we could hit and bring up a screen reader, and while Narrator in Vista is a little bit better, it's still not quite a screen reader. And Serotech has really strived to make accessibility anywhere kind of our mantra and the root of our tree, if you will. And we've been able to do that. And last year, I literally woke up from a night's sleep and called Matt up on the phone and said, hey, I've got this idea for taking System Access and putting it on the web and making it something that people could run from their web browser. And Matt basically said, that might work, and he played with it for a little while. And then that night I went to sleep, woke up the next morning and said something else and said, well, try that. And he tried it, and he said, yeah, that'll work, and it made it kind of better. And then we had this version of System Access that we really wanted to put out there, but we didn't know as a company how to monetize it. So what I did was I said, well, let's put it into beta. Let's see what people's responses are. And what we noticed is we got a lot of Americans using it, but we also got a lot of people in developing countries using it and saying, you know, this is wonderful. This would be great. And how can we get a hold of this here? And how much is it going to cost and this and that? And at one point, we just got together at Serotech and said, you know, Google gave away their core technology and was able to make money at it. And we really went through and looked at our portfolio and said, you know, we can afford to do this. We can afford to give away a screen reader. We'll continue to develop it. We'll call it, for lack of a better term, the trunk of our tree, which is kind of what everything else hangs off of. And then we'll really make money on our web services. And we have decided that we're going to do that. So we created the Accessibility as a Right Foundation, or the AIR Foundation, and we founded it. We're feeding it and clothing it until it can sustain itself. We're out there diligently pounding the pavement, looking for a board so that Serotech can hand it off to the rightful board of directors for the AIR Foundation and just and let it do its thing. But that's really what it comes down to, is I really felt that we can make money. We're not going to lose money. We haven't lost money yet by giving away this technology, and at the same time, being community-minded and as far as I'm concerned, a good corporate citizen of this community, in saying we really, when we can give away something, folks, we're going to.
So for people who haven't tried System Access to Go, first tell them where to go to find it, and then tell us a little bit about what the process is that you go through to get it loaded, and then what happens.
So you can get to System Access to Go a couple of different ways. If you really want to see how the technology works in practice, how you can just use it right off the bat, we invite you to go to the to accessibilityisaright.org. That's www.accessibilityisaright.org. What's going to happen is you're going to hear a prompt that's going to tell you to press a key on your keyboard. You're going to press that key. Then you're going to hear text-to-speech telling you press the Enter key to continue. Text-to-speech is then going to tell you press Alt-R again to continue. And then you can press Alt, and then it'll tell you press Alt-R one more time. So there's two times that it tells you to press Alt-R. And at that point, you'll hear our little warbling sound that's our basically lets you know that the system is working. And it will then run System Access to Go, which is in essence a screen reader, after it downloads a little bit, and it'll prompt you as it's downloading. Then you get the opportunity to log in if you want. Now, why would you want to log in? Well, if not, you need to set your preferences every time, your speed, your pitch, all that stuff. And what you can do is you can log in, you can create an account, and you can opt out of any types of email that Serotech would send you, or product announcements or anything like that. So the goal here isn't to, you know, to get to harvest email addresses and stuff, but we've really found that not many people opt out. They really do want to know what's going on. We do have, you know, I guess what's known in the industry as some leechers, but we're not really out there keeping score. It's just a matter of, hey, you know, that's just the way that the industry works, and we understand that. But you fill in your form, you sign up for the service, you know, for the free version, and you get the ability to just store your preferences. So every time you go to a computer and you load System Access to Go, those preferences come up. Now, subsequent to your visit to accessibilityisaright.org, and I would suggest that everybody go there and understand what the Accessibility is a Right Foundation, what our focus is and what the mission is, really, before you just go and grab SA2Go. I mean, SA2Go has a great use, but it also has a purpose. Then after that, on subsequent visits, whenever you need it, you just go to any Windows computer running Windows XP, Windows Server 2003, Windows Vista, and just do a Windows key R, and then wait a second. The run dialog will open, and using touch typing skills, just type www.satogo.com, and then again, after a minute, the browser will open, and you'll get prompted to press Enter and to continue, and press Alt-R a couple of times, and we'll be back to the login screen again. So it really is a rather simple way. You can obviously bring up Narrator on the computer that you run if you want, but it really isn't necessary. If you're a good touch typist, you'll do that. By the way, I would strongly suggest that you turn off your screen reader before going to either one of these two sites.
Now we've got System Access to Go loaded, and essentially is it just loaded and will it just run the way it is, or do you have the ability to make adjustments if you want to in terms of things like the rate of speed and the pitch and so on?
Well, that's what I'm saying is with you, when you get it up there for the first time, one of the things you can do is set preferences, and then you can optionally just keep setting them every time you get there. Or you can open up a free account with us, and we'll store those preferences for you. And every time you log in, you can use it, and your preferences will be saved. The one limitation that you have with SA2Go, actually the two, is that you, A, must have a browser window open during the whole session. If you close that browser window, the screen reader will go away. And B, you must be connected to the internet. If your internet connection drops for more than 20 minutes, or you are away from the computer for 20 minutes or more, the system access will disappear. And I'll be happy to address the reasons for that in a moment.
I want to first talk about a kind of a devil's advocate issue. And I'm not sure whether it's a devil's advocate issue or not. You described System Access to Go as a screen reader. and as a web-based screen reader, but in essence, I guess from my perspective, a little bit less than that. And I say that because I'm thinking about places in the developing world where internet access is pretty expensive and where a lot of folks aren't going to be able to stay on the internet for very long, and therefore are only going to have access to system access to go as long as they can be on the internet. And I wonder if you guys have given any consideration to developing a downloadable version of SA so that people would actually be able to stay using their computer to, I don't know, write a novel, do homework, a range of other things that people would need to do while not being on the internet.
Well, let me address both those parts. First, the issue you're discussing has nothing to do with really the functionality of it as far as it being a screen reader. The fact is that we have put these limitations into System Access to Go for a couple of reasons. First of all, when we created System Access to Go, it is an on-the-go product. We have tested it in several countries. We've gotten feedback from multiple countries, and no one has complained about the cost of internet connectivity. In most of these places, they have many public computers that are relatively inexpensive, especially compared to internet connectivity here in the States. We decided to, in essence, limit the product to requiring you to be online for a couple of reasons. We are not looking to give the world a free screen reader. We are looking to give the world a disposable screen reader, a screen reader that can be used when you're on the go, when you're on the road, and your home screen reader, whether it be System Access, whether it be JAWS, whether it be HAL, whether it be Windowize, is not available. If you are a person which is economically challenged and do not have the funding to buy a home screen reader, and you can only use screen readers in public places or use technology in public places, then by all means, you're going to sit in front of that computer generally, use System Access to Go, and then when you're done, you're going to close it and go away. We're not here to solve every issue in the blindness community. We're here to solve the one that makes sense for us to provide something back to the community, but yet still be able to keep an economic model alive that will be able to continue to feed our company, but at the same time be able to allow us to provide some semblance of a public service. We don't get a dime from the Accessibility as a Right Foundation to do this, not a penny.
Hear all that. Let's talk for a minute about the fact that you talked about a free version and then you talked about another version. And maybe you could tell us what the difference is so some of the folks who might be more interested in getting some of the other features would actually know what they're missing if they go for the free version.
Well, actually, the free version and the paid version are exactly alike in feature set, with the one benefit that you can use the paid version on your laptop, you can use it on your desktop, you can create a U3 key or a CD and use it in various places. So it's installable. It's, for all intents and purposes, it's a regular piece of AT technology that is not disposable as SA2Go is. However, that being said, as we enhance System Access, the product, we will continue to put those features into SA2Go. So if you're on the go, you're not going to see any difference whatsoever. We truly will sell you a home product. And on top of that, you can buy many of our web services, our content services, our described videos, our ability to, you know, for email and email aggregation and content aggregation and all these different things, the new streaming to the Victor Stream thing that we're doing, and all these different exciting web features that are not available free of charge through SA2Go. But again, it's kind of, if you look at our model, it's very simple. It's like a Google model. You can go and use our technology for free. You don't need to sign up or anything. If you want to sign up kind of just to save your settings, you can do that too. But if you really want to get some bells and whistles, not essentials to make it work, but some bells and whistles, you know, home access to your home computer, that's pretty nifty, things of that nature, you can sign up for our paid version. And you can do that for as little as $24.95 a month.
Now, when you say access to your home computer, does that mean that whether you're connected to the Internet or not, your screen reader would then function?
When you access your home, well, there's two different things there. Access to your home computer is kind of like a Go to My PC feature that we have embedded in System Access, which allows you from the road to connect back to your home computer and run it and use the screen reader on it, whether it be JAWS, WindowEyes, or System Access, or HAL. But the other way is, yes, you don't need to be connected to the Internet to use the paid version of System Access if you have it installed on a laptop, or even if you have a U3 or a U3 key is one of those little portable flash drives in your pocket, and you just plug it into a computer that's not connected to the Internet, you'll have a screen reader there as well.
That is excellent. Since it's new, why don't we talk for a minute? It's a little off our actual subject tonight, but let's talk about it anyway. Let's talk about streaming of content to the Victor Reader Stream, and is that available only through the $24.95 a month, or is there a less expensive way that you can get to some of the stuff that you stream? And tell us what that is, too.
Basically, you must be a subscribed user of the System Access mobile network, and $24.95 is probably about the most economical way to go, and you get, but for $24.95 a month, you get a lot of stuff using our software as a service. You get a screen reader on up to two computers. You get it on a key. You get it on a CD. You get the ability to use it on the web. You get all of our content. And what happens is with the Victor, and actually, if you buy that package right now, we give you NeoSpeech as well, and we give you a free ZenStone just for doing it because it's our birthday month. And that special is going to end very quickly, by the 31st of March. But the other thing is that if you decide to use our technology with the stream, you can send content to the stream, including your email, including your podcasts, including all of your newspaper content, RSS feeds and things of that nature, forums, even our content on the network, even like the movies, but the movies come across protected as DAISY content, so they cannot be copied, they can't be shared with another stream user. We're using similar but tighter encryption than the NLS does for its technology, just because we really care about the integrity of the copies of the stuff that's going out into the public. So that's why we're so set on the stream.
And just so people know, how many movies do you have up there now?
Oh, we got quite a few. It's about 1,500 or so.
That will certainly take some time. Let's go back a little bit to the foundation and tell us a bit about why it is that you decided to form the foundation and what you hope that foundation will accomplish down the road.
Well, really, we hope in the short term, well, first of all, let's start with the reason that we formed it. Accessibility, we believe, is a right. And while that may not sit right with some people, we believe that accessibility should be universally built into things. So the name of the organization is to make people realize, hey, you know, I never thought of accessibility as a right. As the CEO and founder of Serotech, like any business person, I'm ultimately either going to grow this company to a point where it will be acquired by someone else, or, I mean, it's just a business decision. I don't know where that's going to go. So I don't want, though, to have whatever I've been able to do that has really been able to be a help to my community to die with, basically, with my involvement with Serotech, were that ever to change for whatever reason. So what we did was we developed the Accessibility as a Right Foundation, and we gave it a license, what's called in perpetuity, which is totally giving them a license to where even if Serotech closes down, if Serotech changes business focus, if Serotech gets acquired, doesn't matter. The SA2Go still remains in the hands of the Accessibility as a Right Foundation, and certain things kick into effect with that license that will allow the Accessibility as a Right Foundation to continue to do its purpose with SA2Go. And what is its purpose? Well, its purpose is to market to the world the fact that there is a full screen reader available for free that is not open source. It is maintained with commercial dollars. It is a commercially viable product that's available to the world in large. That's number one. Number two, its other goal is to work with Serotech and with government agencies and non-government organizations in other countries to convert SA to Go to other languages. And this is going to become more and more important as we bring in magnification and Braille, where we're working with folks like the people at View Plus to make sure that the Braille that is spit out by SA is clean and it's available in multiple languages. The folks at View Plus have a real heart for the developing countries, and which is why they put out their Braille product. And we fully embrace that, and they're fully supportive of what's going on with the Accessibility as a Right Foundation. So I've had several talks with AT companies in the industry that really have caught the vision of the AIR Foundation, or the Accessibility as a Right Foundation. We call it AIR. And you'll see where we're going to actually have other AT companies in this space join up with us and say, hey, we're going to give something that's going to give people in other countries and give people that are trying to become active partners or an active part of society something to contribute to their growth in that aspect. So I'm really excited about some of the conversations I've had with other AT companies.
From ACB Radio Mainstream, you are listening to Tuesday Topics. If you have comments about the show or a suggestion of a topic you would like to have discussed, send a message to TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. That's TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. Once again, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
We do have some other folks in the room with us, so why don't we open it up and see whether folks have some specific questions that they'd like to ask Mike. And I know I've still got a few, so we will open up and let's see what people would like to know that I haven't asked.
Hello, Mike. This is Gary Wood, and I commend you for your work with Serotech and the system access, how much you really accomplished, and I hope that continues. Sounds like a great thing. I don't use system access now, but from what I've seen of it and heard of it, you can do a lot more than you can with just your screen reader, and from what I've heard on the reviews, I just was wondering if there's, if I might ask you, do you know of anything that, like, you say that it's not exactly a screen reader, but is there some things that you can, that I can do with JAWS that I can't do with a system access product?
Well, there's two reasons Gary, thank you, by the way, first of all, for your compliments. You know, we've strived to call system access not a screen reader, and we've always said it's more than a screen reader. It's not less than a screen reader, folks. It's more than a screen reader because it does other things. It allows you to connect home to your home computer, and it's something that it's a piece of AT technology that you can load up from anywhere. There are certain things that, for example, a JAWS for Windows or a WindowEyes can do that we've chosen either not to do or not to do yet. The big one is scripting. Scripting is something that we expect to have at some point in the near future. We've talked about it, and we've been very excited about it in the past. However, it just has not really fit into the model of consumer that we're looking to address. So we will be doing scripting, but you know, when we kind of see a lull in development and say, well, now we've got some time to kind of pay attention to scripting, right now we're the next two things you're going to see from System Access is you're going to see magnification, and we're going to be demonstrating that at CSUN, and it will be out, and that will be available through SA2Go as well. And you will see Braille, and we should have that ready by convention time for the release of at the conventions, at which time we're also going to be releasing some Lenovo computers that we have partnered with Lenovo to put out laptops that will have accessibility embedded for under $1,000. So we are a complete screen reader. The thing is, the big difference between us and them is that we are automatic and they're kind of stick. You need to configure their things quite a bit. Ours just kind of seems to work out of the box.
thanks for your answer there. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was short, right?
Just to go back to a question that I asked earlier, and I think I know the answer, but I want to reassure people in case I've misled them. If you're connected to a computer and you're on the Internet and you're using system access to go, and you decide that you want to actually go into, let's say, Microsoft Word and write a document that you, say, want to attach to an email, you can do that with no problem with system access, even with the free version, correct?
No doubt, absolutely. As long as you keep that window open, and it doesn't, I mean, it's not just going to disappear and you're out of here. If your internet connection flashes in and out, or if it's gone for 10 minutes and comes back, you know, we're going to let you know before we shut down. So it's not just like you're going to be there and all of a sudden you're going to have no speech whatsoever. But as long as you have the window open, yeah, you can sit on SA2Go all day long at the library or in a public place. I don't recommend people use this from home, Paul. There are things like zone alarm and things like that are different than public firewalls. And they don't use zone alarm in public. They don't use Norton security in public. All these different things that kind of put you in a catch-22 when it comes to AT, because they stop the AT from talking until you allow the AT through. So it's kind of a catch-22. They don't use that stuff in public computers. They don't use that stuff in government installations and things like that. They use hardware, which normally 9 out of 10 times we can get by because of the differences in the way that firewall technology works versus the simulated firewall activity of, say, a zone alarm or things like that. And we're working with companies like Sophos and others that are finally starting to know who we are and putting us on their allow list. So they see our technology and they say, oh, we know who they are. So we're working towards that, and we've communicated with quite a few companies and going through whatever processes they need to look at our technology to know that, yeah, it's safe and we're not going to, you know, damage people's computers.
I guess another question. It sounded to me in your list of various Windows incarnations that the product doesn't work with 98 or 95. And I know these are old, but I guess I'm just wondering whether there was a compelling reason for that, because I'm thinking that again, developing countries may not get to new technology very quickly, but I suppose your answer to that is also going to be, at least in part, that you're primarily aiming at public computers that almost certainly will have.
Well, actually, 95 and 98 and Millennium, for that matter, do not provide the types of things, the types of technologies that we depend on in Windows to even provide SA2Go if we wanted to. So it's not even a possibility. But as far as developing countries, Microsoft sells Windows XP to developing countries for $3 a copy for public distribution and stuff, so to avoid piracy. So there's a lot more Windows XP internationally than you'd know or that you'd expect.
Board members, are you looking to try to get a pretty international sort of board, or are you looking for AT people? What kind of people are you looking for in terms of board members?
Well, right now, we have two people on the board, and they're both from Cerotech. Actually, we have a third person, I'm sorry, and we have Art Schreiber, who is the director of the Accessibility is a Right Foundation. And he's an advocate. He's not affiliated with Cerotech at all, and he's a huge advocate for accessibility for seniors and through the National Federation. So we're really trying to get people from all sides, from both sides of the aisle, if you will, and from international groups, and from corporate sponsors. Of course, you know, our pillar foundations, that would be groups like Lenovo may put somebody on our board. They had a lot to do with the Accessibility is a Right Foundation getting off the ground, and they will be contributing technology and assistance as we move forward to further the cause of the Accessibility is a Right Foundation. So we don't exactly know who's going to be on the board just yet. You can bet it's going to be a pretty diverse group of people that will have Accessibility is a Right as its core, but everybody's going to kind of come to the table and bring their own unique perspective to what we hope will open up pretty straightforward dialogue about how, in the world that's getting grayer, that's coming in front of us, we're going to be able to make sure that everybody, no one's going to be left behind technologically, regardless of where they live on the planet.
Is there a telephone number where people can get information on Accessibility as a Right Foundation in addition to going to the Internet website?
Actually, Paul, we do have a phone number. While the web is the best way to communicate with us, we do have a phone line, of course, being that it is a non-for-profit and we do work with volunteers. Right now, the phones are not manned much. But for all intents and purposes, you give us a call at 877-369-0101. And if you have an answer, a question you need to ask, then we do have people that will call you back. We don't have anybody manning the phones right now for inbound calls. We're aggressively seeking fundraising opportunities and all of that kind of stuff. But a lot of the information that you would ever want to know is available right on the website at accessibilityisaright.org. And again, we're very active in answering email. We all take turns answering email when we get a chance. So there's no smoke and mirrors here. I found that our community, and I'm a member of it, so I can say we tend to be very, very suspicious and highly critical of organizations that open up and do it. But we're laying it out as it is. We're a small shop, and we sound like a small shop. And as a small shop does, communicating with us by email and allowing us to return the call is a lot better because we're all working as a volunteer on a volunteer basis. We're not getting paid for it.
Yep, understood. So that's 877-369-0101 and accessibilityisaright.org. And you mentioned that there is an email address. Maybe you'd give us that?
Yep, it's really easy. It's info at accessibilityisaright.org. We also invite people to go right onto the webpage and sign up for the newsletter or the information emails that are sent out from accessibilityisaright.org. Serotech doesn't harvest any of the information from there for its own malicious purposes of advertising. I say that totally joking. We don't have malicious purposes in advertising. We have business reasons for advertising. But we don't harvest that. You're not going to get, oh, sorry, we know you signed up for AIR Foundation information, but Serotech just took your email as well because we just figured you'd want to know. So we keep the two separate. They are two separate organizations, and we really go to great lengths to make sure that they stay separate.
Are there other questions for Mike?
Steve Bauer from Wichita, Kansas. Mike, with population growing grayer and that being a worldwide situation, I always say it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. With SA2Go, is it configurable so that you can make it work like WindowEyes, you can make it work like JAWS, you can make it work like HAL? In other words, you can make it work like the screen reader that you're used to using, assuming that you are already using a screen reader of some kind.
That's a great question. And the short answer is no, but I will elaborate. First of all, the purpose, I believe, and research shows that the people that the part of the world that's getting grayer, yeah, there's a lot of old blanks that are getting grayer, me being included, but those of us who already have a screen reader can pretty much adjust. It's the newbies. It's the grandmas and the grandpas and the baby boomers and whatnot that have never used a screen reader before that will get introduced to SA2Go at the lighthouse or whatever where they can really use this and they can actually train them on something that they can leave that afternoon and go home and still continue to practice on. Or practice at the library or practice at the school, whatever. The other thing is that our key structure, though, does tend to be rather JAWS-ish. That's kind of by coincidence, not so much by design. It's just there's only so much you can do. If you build a car, if you buy a Chevrolet, the gas pedal's in the same place and the brake is in the same place and the steering wheel's in the same place. So it's not so much that we're doing things as JAWS, it's just that these are the way the keystrokes kind of fall. But if you use System Access or System Access to Go, you'll find that we kind of stay out of the way and let Windows do its thing and use the screen reader to speak things automatically to people so that really interaction with the screen reader portion of the AT is minimal.
Well, someone like me, I've been using a computer since I was 55. I'm 66 now, but I think that probably the people in their 70s or 80s are probably reticent to try learning new technologies, I would think, because they probably slow to want to learn stuff like that, but I could be wrong.
Oh, you most definitely are, my friend. I have several hundred folks over 70 on our network right now.
Yeah, in fact, I think that it's probably arguable that because of the way that the whole system access network operates, it's probably friendlier to seniors than people who simply go out and try to learn a screen reader from scratch. I wanted to share something with you, Mike, that Brian had just mentioned on a text message, and that is over the last couple of weeks, there were a group of six or seven folks who visited the Carroll Center who were involved in a mountain climbing expedition in Tibet. And these are young Tibetan folks. And one of the things that they saw at the Carroll Center was system access to go. And they have all indicated that when they get back to Tibet, they will be using it as a matter of course, and are really excited by the fact that it's out there and available. So another country is about to be heard from.
See, that's exactly the kind of thing that I love to hear. I mean, listen, I love to hear about Americans that use the technology because, sure, we have economic issues here, but even the poorest of the poor here in the States have no idea what it's like to live in a developing country and to face the challenges, not only economic challenges, but the social challenges, you know, that blind folks face in these other countries. So, to me, that's just exciting. And Brian, I thank you, and hats off to you and the folks at the Carroll Center for doing that. And you know, please continue to do that. We really love the support, and we really appreciate it. So, and we certainly can't do it alone. That's exactly what we count on. By the way, touching back on the seniors issue for a second, just so you know, Art Schreiber, Accessibility as a Rights director, was blinded in his 60s, and he is 82 and gallivanting around the world using SA to go, and he's been a system access customer for a number of years. So, you know, seniors are certainly jumping aboard the AT bandwagon and certainly embracing it quite a bit. What they just need is, they need AT, they just need less interface. So I think Paul's absolutely right. With a full-blown configurable screen reader like JAWS, which is an excellent product for when you need it that way, it does the trick. But if you need automatic and you just want to kind of get in and drive and go, SA seems to be the solution that really shines above the other guys for that type of access.
Well, that's good to know, you know. And, you know, as far as people living in underdeveloped countries, I feel fortunate living in this country compared to folks in other countries who don't have it as well as we do. Sometimes we think we have it bad, but there's a lot of people have it so much worse.
Yeah, Gary, I think that's pretty accurate. Mike, let's broaden the discussion a little bit, if you don't mind, beyond system access to go to the whole issue of the changing climate for screen readers, if there is one. There is a gentleman in Australia who has put together a screen reader that he's working on. The Mac computer system makes a screen reader available right on their product. And yet, in the Windows environment, we are still, for the most part, operating with fairly expensive third-party solutions for screen readers in general. Do you think that climate's changing so that, given some of the directions, including SA2Go, by the way, there may be more pressure in the Windows environment to see either costs come down or the evolution of a more fully functional component of the Microsoft product?
Boy, talk about a touchy question. Well, first of all, let me touch on the easy one, and that is Mix work with NVDA, which is the free screen reader open source, which Serotech has the pleasure to have contributed some code to as well. So if you look on their webpage, you'll see that one of the contributors to that project is Serotech, and we continue to actively support what they're doing and support them and provide technology as we can. We believe very much in open source, and we try and take part in that activity as much as possible, as much as doesn't hurt our own proprietary business model. That being said, we of course extend the olive branch out to NVDA and anyone else who wants to join the Accessibility as a Right Foundation, and as well market their products to developing and underprivileged folks that need accessibility and that we and that they believe that accessibility is a right. Now on to your question. Well, I think that AT is one of those things that it's coming around and people are finally starting to realize that there are choices. I think the community is a lot more connected today than it was 20 years ago. We're connected to one another, so therefore we can kind of gang up on companies and say we want this or we want that. I think the day for Microsoft to strongly consider incorporating a screen reader into its operating system is here. I am not one of these blind people that believes that it needs to be for us, by us. I believe that the accessibility roadmaps have been drawn clear enough. There are enough really sharp blind people that can go into mainstream jobs developing this stuff in mainstream companies to where we can take it out of the blind community. With respect to other AT companies, I look at it this way. In America, of course, we have a problem with obesity. And one of the biggest problems that people have with obesity is that they need to practice portion control. So if you've been eating for years and years and you've built yourself on eating, you know, three plates of food at the dinner table, you know, and you're a big old heavy person that weighs 300, 350 pounds, it's going to be very difficult for you to sit down next to a person who weighs maybe 100, 125 pounds and only eats half a plate of food at the dinner table and is still able to be as productive as you are. That's what we're dealing with. Serotech, we leverage a lot of technology in our business model. We leverage a lot of things that these companies don't even understand yet. Social networking, they don't work with Ajax properly. They don't understand the whole on-the-go mindset of the consumer group. It's just not, it's alien to them because they're such large companies that they're focused on the people that they're serving now. We, on the other hand, and their companies have grown to serve. I mean, what is it that Freedom has? 100 and some odd thousand folks? And they need to keep costs up to continue to support those people. We could support 100,000 people, 200,000 people, and keep costs at the same and still be making money right now at $24.95 a month. If I would submit that if we had 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 people online, we would even be able to lower that because we're built from the ground up to be a technologically advanced company that embraces current technology. So it's just a matter of evolution, Paul. It's really a matter of companies staying current, staying on top of their game, and knowing how to address the needs of their consumer. And I would submit that my mindset, my goal as an executive, and those at Freedom Scientific and at GW Micro, if you will, are entirely different focus groups in the marketplace. Both are very important, but that's why I think that, you know, ultimately you're going to see that Serotech has a bigger market share in the long run because we are more everybody's adaptive technology as opposed to they only focus on people usually working with jobs.
Yeah, and that I did hear that in one of the reviews, I think probably in Main Menu, that you did mention that since you're a smaller company, you can do bigger things, you know, because you don't have to worry about all the things like, you know, the stock market people and all that.
Well, we certainly don't have the level of accountability that that say a Freedom Scientific would, and of course the folks at GW Micro are, you know, they are also very focused on the job market. I mean, they do have a number of consumers, but with this. With this new scripting thing of theirs that they just put out, they're making it very clear and evident that they really are looking to compete head-to-head with Freedom at the job level and trying to get some of that job money. And I think that it's great. I don't think that there's a need for all of us to fight. I think it's a great thing. Hey, I love working with consumers. I don't mind being the Hyundai. You know, Hyundai makes a lot of money.
One of the questions that was raised as a text message asks you to provide us a little bit more information, if you would, about the magnification that you're going to be introducing. Not only the when, but maybe you could tell us a little bit more about what that will actually enable folks to do. One doesn't expect it to be necessarily Zoom text or magic, but perhaps you can tell us what the magnification will enable folks to do. And also, if you would, tell us a little bit about, if you know, how close we are to beginning to see System Access to Go become available in any other languages than English.
Okay, first with magnification, we will be releasing some information about magnification as to the features and stuff. Right now I can tell you things like our maximum size is 6X. We work both on Vista and on XP. It is going to work better on Vista than XP. XP right now, one of the problems we're having is text smoothing. But that being said, it's still going to be, you know, quite a respectable product that you can use when on the go. We're not going to be charging any extra for it. It is going to be something that we include into our product. So it's one of those things that you really got to try and see, and if it works for you, great. And if it doesn't, well, we understand. We're not going to be offended. So it's one of those things that you're going to really have to wait and see when it comes out and see if it fits. Not being a magnification or a partial myself, I really don't know what all of the features are that are there. I don't have the roadmap in front of me to whip it out and say, oh yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We're going to do cursor tracking and we're going to do, you know, all that different kind of stuff. I can't rattle that off like I can screen reader stuff, which I use every day, of course. We are rolling out, we're working on a couple of different versions of SA2Go right now. We're looking towards Spanish, and we're looking at Chinese. Those are probably going to be the two first languages that we release, and we don't have a date for those. We've just started gotten started, and I had a conversation with someone about a month and a half ago about getting German supported as well. So as we move forward, the folks at AIR will go ahead and put that information out. Again, I know some about AIR, but I am not involved on a day-to-day basis with AIR. We're simply a company that licenses its technology to AIR.
Okay. In terms of the Braille, you talked about Braille Plus products being designed specifically to work with SA and SA2Go. For those people who don't know what sorts of products Braille Plus makes available, do you want to just provide a little bit of information, if you can?
Well, Braille Plus is probably best known for their Tiger embossers. They actually put out, though, a set of tools for grade 2 translation. It's an open source set of tools, and it's being used right now in products like MobileSpeak and MobileSpeak on the cell phones and stuff. What they're using is the View Plus technology stuff. So View Plus is primarily a hardware company, I guess, but having spent some time with their folks, they really have a heart for our community and really being able to provide tools that can be leveraged into many different aspects. And I don't know everything about the company except for I know that they got some really darn good Braille printers, and the grade 2 stuff that they're providing to companies like Cerotech and the Code Factory people and others is really excellent, and we're very excited to be partnering with them on that.
Another text question that came up as the second half to the answer to my question about your phone line, that is the concern that at least for a while it was all going back to opening scripts, and so the question was asked, has that now been squared away so that when you go to a particular message on the phone line, that now functions okay?
I believe so. I'm pretty sure that it is. I'll definitely open up a trouble ticket, though, and have somebody take a look and make sure that everything is doing what it's supposed to do. Generally, though, I can tell you all roads lead to voicemail at this point. So voicemail, email, it's all going to go to the same place, the same pool of volunteers.
Another question from the text area is you get a PIN number, I think, and the question is there a way to have one's PIN resent if one sort of forgets what it is?
At this point, what you need to do is you need to contact Serotec and ask Serotec for your information. It's kind of a catch-22 because some people don't have email accounts that sign up with us. So sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. We are working on a way of getting people their information sent to them. And I think that one thing that we're going to be able to do is we're going to be able to have it go to your original email. But if you kind of created the account using a public email service like a Hotmail or something and then just kind of left that by the wayside, you just simply used it to create the account once, it's not going to be good for you in the future. So generally, we just suggest if you lose your PIN, you ask, you call Serotec, and they can, and the people at Serotec can even change that PIN for you to something that's a little more memorable for you.
Could you give us Serotec's number in case there is someone who is burning to do that?
I would be happy to. Of course, you can give us a call at 866-202-0520 here in the States and in Canada. We do have a UK number that slips my mind that is on our website at www.serotec.com. And we also have a direct phone number that you can dial, and that's 612-246-4818. And again, all that contact information is available at www.serotec.com. That's Serotec.com.
One of the things that you talked about, and I just want to be sure that everybody understands this, is you said that people have, when they go to the non-free version of the product, they end up getting a key. And maybe you could talk a little bit about exactly what this key is and what it does so that people would have a better understanding of exactly how that works.
Right. Well, what they get is they don't actually get the key. They don't actually get a removable drive. What they get is the ability to put system access on a U3 key that you can just run down to any store and buy, or you can order it online or what have you. They're about $20. And the reason we don't necessarily we sell them, but we don't like to sell them very much, frankly, is because we tend to have older technology on hand. We don't sell the keys fast enough to be able to keep with, for example, we give you a 1 gig key right now, and you would pay $100 premium to get that. Well, we don't suggest you do that unless you have to, but normally you should just run down to Radio Shack and for $40 you can get a 4 gig key nowadays. So you see what I'm saying? So it really, we try to stay out of selling people hardware and just give them a license that will go, that will allow them to burn system access onto a key, and they can take that with them anywhere. Does that make sense?
I thought that was one of the neat things about the system access product, is being able to burn it onto a key or CD before that, and you can go to any computer and use it like your own computer, and then it doesn't leave a trace when you leave the computer.
And the very cool feature, of course, Gary, is that you don't have to be logged on as administrator. You don't require any kind of video chaining or mirror drivers. And we also, in Vista, we work with Aero, which means that we don't make your screen look funny and cripple your machine as other adaptive technologies do, so and still do. So, it is a very awesome experience to be able to use system access on the go and on a key without really affecting the way that the computer itself looks.
Now, would I be correct that this could actually go into any kind of flash memory? So if you wanted to put it on an SD card or you wanted to put it on a CF card, that wouldn't be an issue either?
Well, yes and no. It would not run well. It could be stored there, but it wouldn't run well because the U3 spec, U3 is actually a launching technology that's embedded in many of these off-the-shelf USB keys. And we take advantage, we leverage the power of that auto-launch technology to allow the system access stuff to start right when you plug it in using this auto-launch. Under Vista, it does take some contortions to get it started from time to time, depending on the lockdown of the machine. At which point we recommend that you either A, run Narrator on Vista by doing a Windows key R and typing Narrator and pressing Enter, at which point then you'll get speech and you can work with that speech until system access comes up and then it turns off Narrator. Or you can just do Windows key R and type in www.sa2go.com and just use it that way. So there's many ways. When you have this many options available to you, you become quite resourceful at looking in your system access toolbox and really seeing what tool we've given you that applies to your current accessibility challenge. The point is to give people several tools to work with, though.
Mike, a couple of thank yous. First, for agreeing to come on at very short notice. Poor Mike had like 24 hours only lead time in terms of doing the program. I very much appreciate your jump in at the last minute, Mike. Thank you so much. And thank you as well for being prepared to set up a foundation. I think you are setting an example, but I hope that other AT technology people will become more involved in. I think that blind people in developing countries truly do need the opportunity to have as much access to the world as we can manage to give them, and I think SA2Go is certainly a place where that is being helped immensely. I probably will invite you on to Tuesday Topics in a year or two to tell us how many thousands of folks are actually using the product and to hear just some of the stories of folks whose lives have been impacted by the direction that you're taking. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to Tuesday Topics and remind you that we do have an email address, tuesdaytopics@acbradio.org. If you would like to send us some email, we would certainly love to read it and we'll be glad to respond to it. Thank you very much for listening. And remember, access to technology is a right, and it's also the right thing for access technology to do. Good night.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday at 2 hours Universal. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. That's ourplace.acbradio.org. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each program begins, those who are online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room software. An announcement about the show, including information about the topic and the guest speaker, will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends List. So we hope you will come and join us each week on Tuesday, when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. We'll look for you in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. Tuesday Topics is a production of ACB Radio Mainstream.